As we begin here tonight, our lessons are going to be a study on the significant places of the Bible and a Bible study of these biblical locations. And as you start here with this map, I want you to just take a good look at this map and view what's taking place. This is the Bible lands, all right? So you've got all the way over here to the Persian Gulf, all the way across up the Euphrates, up the Tigris rivers, and then the Arabian Desert in the middle. You've got Israel over there, Egypt on the far side. And then over up in the top, you've got Turkey and Cyprus and all of that, and goes on over into that area. So it doesn't cover the western part of the biblical map, but all of the eastern part. All right, and so I want us to just take a look tonight, first of all, at the major rivers. Okay, so the major rivers here, we've got one of the most major rivers, the Euphrates River. It starts way down here in the Persian Gulf, or maybe I guess that's where it ends. It starts way up there in the mountains. And it follows all the way down through, trickles down all the way along here, all the way to the Persian Gulf. Now, as you look at that, it's a river that goes, this whole area that's green is the Fertile Crescent. And that was the place where very likely the early settlements took place after the flood in the Fertile Crescent area, up in this area. The major rivers, not only the Euphrates, but then also the Tigris River goes up as well, not quite as big as the Euphrates. But then over there you see the Nile River way over on the other side. So when we're over here, we see the Nile River down, and then there's all the different branches of the Nile River that goes up to the ocean here in the Mediterranean. And then, of course, the Jordan River goes down through the middle here, and it starts up in the mountains here above Israel, and then comes down the Jordan River through the Galilee and down to the Dead Sea. Okay, so those are the major rivers of the Bible lands. And then as you look at the next, I want us to see the major seas. Of course, you got the Mediterranean over on the other side. It goes all the way out to the Atlantic Ocean. And then next, the Persian Gulf over here. It might be blocked by some of you, your view, by some of you over here, the Persian Gulf. And we've heard lots about the Persian Gulf and world events over the years. And then, of course, the next one is the Red Sea, which is where the children of Israel crossed. The Red Sea part, we don't see all of it down in here. The map didn't extend down quite that far. I should have made it a little lower, I guess. But I wanted to get the overall. And then, of course, the Dead Sea here and the Sea of Galilee. Okay, so that gives us the major seas of the area. And just looking at the area, this up here is Assyria. So in the Bible, when it talks about the people being attacked by the Assyrians were up in the area of Nineveh and Asher and all of this area. That was the area of Assyria. This is Babylonia down in here. And Chaldea was also down in this area. And later on, we'll be looking at some of the other cities that are in this area. During the times of the captivity, Babylon was the capital part of the time. The Persians took over, and during that time as well, there was Susa was also a place where there was the Persians and the Babylonians had capitals over here. All right. So, any questions about the major seas that we see here? Okay, I want you to get a good picture in your mind so you can envision these things so that it sticks with you as we look at this. Next, I want us to notice the trip from Abram from Ur of the Chaldees up to Haran and then down. Now, as we look at this, it's interesting. It started at Ur of the Chaldees, and there's some debate in that. And we're going to see that in the next slide as to whether this was the Ur of the Chaldees or there was another Ur of the Chaldees. And for centuries, they've said it was, well, I think centuries, a long, long time anyway, scholars have felt like it was down here in the Ur of the Chaldees. But now there's some new ideas that are coming up with some other things. So that was, but they traveled up that trail, and you can see there that the distance from Ur down here up to Haran was about 1,050 kilometers. So it's a long way. It wasn't just a quick little jog. So if this is truly where the Ur of the Chaldees was, then he would have traveled all the way along there, past Babylon, all the way up. It would have taken a long, long time. Yes, sir?
These distances actually, because some of this is interesting if you think about a map, but like a lot of maps do, is they'll calculate the distance based on like the line that it draws. But what you've got to take into account, there's a lot of valleys and ups down. So is that 1,050 kilometers as you, from the road side view, or actually counting the...
Following the red line. On my map program, I just followed the red line.
So which is what I'm pointing out, because it might be even more extraordinary.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the valleys and stuff, that could be more like, you know, almost closer to 2,000 once you take into account the elevation.
It's possible. This elevation here doesn't vary a whole lot as it would over in these areas. But there is possibilities there.
No, I'm just saying it's worth appreciating just how difficult that
was. Yeah. It was a long trip, no matter what you do. It was a long trip. Right. Any other thoughts or comments or questions?
What do the colors denote for the mountains?
It's the terrain. I mean, this is a desert. The brown was a desert. The lowlands are green. All right, so the lower it is, the greener it is. And the higher it is, the browner it is. So these are mountainous areas up in this area. And this is all deserty area in here. And then you get the mountains up in Lebanon above Israel there. So
that's why it sort of squirts around the brown bit. The last time the trip, there's a brown blob just under where it says Euphrates River, and they've sort of gone around it. That'd be the higher land there.
Yeah, so it gives you...
What are the blue lakes where it says Babylonia?
Sorry?
Where it says Babylonia by your right hand.
Yes.
Yeah, that blue...
These lakes? These are big lakes. Well, they probably do, but I didn't name them because they're not mentioned in the Bible. And yeah, well, they would be pretty big. I mean, you look at the size of this compared to the Dead Sea, and, you know, they'd be at least as big as the Dead Sea, probably bigger than the Dead Sea. So, pretty good size.
What's interesting is if one considers the land that God gave to Abram, which was bordered by the Euphrates, and you have a look at what they've got today.
From what I've studied so far, as I dig into that, Euphrates up here, so it seems like from the river of Egypt, which is this river right here, from that river all the way up to the Euphrates up here, this whole area apparently was supposed to belong to Israel, all the way up to the Euphrates. No, certainly wouldn't have included all this, but it was that patch that went up there all the way to the Euphrates. So there's a big patch. I mean, obviously right now they only have it up to about here, but all of Lebanon and all of that area up in there was included in it originally. So, and then when we get up to, I said I'd mention the next one. So let's take a look at this one here. Some modern scholars have the idea that, I don't want to stand in your way, so I'll figure out where to stand. But they claim that there was another place called Ur of the Chaldees right up here that was north of Haran. And I'm going to read the article that came with this picture to give us a little bit of an idea of why they think that. But they think that might have been where the Ur of the Chaldees was instead of the one down there. And they say that, well, the reason that they called it Ur of the Chaldees is it was making it distinct from the other Ur, which was the Ur of summer. The area down there was more of the Ur of summer. So, I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Is the Chaldees a mountain range?
Well, I checked into that as well, and from what I could see is this whole area down in here was called Chaldea as well. So that kind of shoots that theory to my mind. So I'm not really sure, but let me just read some of what they said here. They said the location identification of Ur of the Chaldees has been the object of considerable discussion. And then it mentions the guys that made this popular, where it was down here. This view was widely accepted for much of the 20th century, and let's see if I can drag this mouse. I may have to put the mouse in because I don't know how to run this tape. How do you?
Well, if you break, I'm just going to save you from messing yourself with this.
I'm not sure how you move that mouse. Anyway, let me get my other mouse and put it in there. This is a new computer, and it's new to me, and so I'm a little bit unfamiliar with how it operates. But, okay. So then, This view is widely accepted for much of the 20th century and is frequently encountered in the works from that period. More recent scholarship has tended to favor the identity of Abraham's Ur in the regions of Haran, about 1,000 miles or 1,600 kilometers. That kind of goes with what John Ray said there, 1,600 kilometers northwest of the Sumerian city. And they talk about this Ur of the Chaldees thing, the idea of that. And then they said that one of the things that leads them to think that is because, and this is a question that's come to my mind often as well. All right, why did he go to Haran? You need to stop and think about it. He's following the Euphrates River. He's following the Euphrates River. Why would he go up to Haran?
Go around the mountains.
Well,
there's all those mountains on your, down there, under there where your hand is.
Yeah, there's mountains here, but I mean, he could have. He knew he was going to.
Well, he's following a river valley.
Yeah, but why go up this other river? This is not the Euphrates.
Maybe they know where the water was, you know.
Well, they were following the water, but there was water that went this way as well. So why didn't he keep, maybe he was on this side and he just followed it up. I don't know. But their theory was that because Haran was out of the way to go to Israel, that they think that the Haran might have been up here and he just went down this little ways and they camped there. Seems a bit unusual to me. John Ray?
It's actually, when you really look into ancient routes and stuff from the ancient world, it's a bit more complicated sometimes than just looking at the ideal location, how it would look to us. Because, like, even take Israel, right? Because I've been a pastor for a long into the archaeology of Israel, and there's a lot of ancient routes that the Jews used to take traveling for Israel. But they wouldn't always take certain routes, even if they were nice routes of water and food, because they were known to have bandits. So even in the ancient world, you didn't just go somewhere because it was the optimal route. I mean, there were bandits, there were caravan thieves. So people would slaughter you and take your stuff, you know. It was a very rough ancient world. And so people always went to places that had strongholds, where there was, like, protection. You could shelter animals, but it wouldn't get stolen. I mean, robbing of caravans in those days, like, whatever, just mob people was such a big problem in the ancient
route. So
very likely something.
Perhaps that had something to do with why he chose the route he did here. If he did, I tend to think that this was the Ur of the Chaldees down here, but maybe that's just because of what I've always been taught. I can see their arguments for that one. I don't know. I'm not so sure that that's the truth. But then as we look at the Ur of the Chaldees, assuming that it's the lower one, just some facts about it that could be of help to us. First of all, it was located on the banks of the Euphrates River, and then it was an important trading post. All right, so throughout that region there, it was an important trading post. So it gives us a little bit of an idea of the place where Abraham would have originated. Quotation from Baker's Bible Atlas says that Ur was not a primitive city in the days of the patriarchs. One of the most important Sumerian cities, it posed an elaborate system of writing, advanced means of mathematical calculations, religious records, refined specimens of art and school system, and much else that modern man equates with civilization and refinement. So it just gives us a little bit of an idea of the place there. Bible references include Genesis 11, 28, and 31, and 15, 7, and then Nehemiah 9, 7. Let's just take a look at a couple of those references there, just so we can see what the scriptures actually say when they mention that. Genesis chapter 11, verse number 28. Okay, Genesis 11, verse 28. This is the first mention when God speaks to Abraham. And verse 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. Okay. And then down in verse number 31, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, see, this is why they speculate that it might have been the northern Haran and come down, because it makes it sound like they were traveling down toward Israel, whereas the way that went up, there really wasn't to travel. You know, they weren't going that direction. So let me just go over here for a moment here so you can just see this once again. So if they were going up here, why take that big detour up that direction? You look how far that would be, you know, comparative, that space right there. You're looking at 100 kilometers of a detour to Haran. Certainly they would have known, or someone would have known the area well enough to know that if you're going to Canaan, that's not the direction to go. So that's why these new scholars are arguing to that end. And they have a logical argument from that perspective. But then again, in Genesis 15, verse...
The fact that the terminology in the Bible makes reference to Ur of the Chaldees, is that not almost bringing it back to the southern, as opposed to north, which... the only connection there is...
Well, see, what they were saying is these modern scholars are saying... it's a distinction from this one down here. They say this one's the Ur of the Sumer area. And they seem to think that's a distinction between the two. But at the same time, when I looked up Chaldea to see where Chaldea was, everything seemed to point to it was down here. So was that Chaldea as well? I don't know. So that does make a distinction there. Why did he specifically say Ur of the Chaldees? If there was more than one Ur, that would make sense. If there wasn't more than one Ur, then you'd think, well, why the distinction?
Isn't there another relationship also between the Babylonians and the Chaldeans?
I would think so, yes.
Because I think that brings you, keeps bringing you back to the southern part.
Yeah, see, that's why I still hold that. I personally think it was probably down here. Yeah. You know, if modern scholars are saying that, at least I've thrown that out so you can chew on it, and nobody even knows for positive, then... in chapter 15 of Genesis, verse number 7, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee up, brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. All right, so God's talking to him. He's in Canaan at this point, and he promises him. And then in Nehemiah 9, he mentions that again. So as we look now at this map once again, we see that he's traveled up that way, and he gets up to Haran. All right, so what do we know about Haran? All right, just a couple of things here. Here's a modern picture of Haran, and it gives a little bit of an idea of the countryside. Pretty flat, no mountainous areas in that area right now. Notice the houses here. Apparently, that was quite typical and has been for centuries. A lot of the old houses were kind of beehive cones, like. Yes, John Ray.
Actually, the reason they did it is very interesting, because I saw a documentary once in Rome. They go back thousands of years, actually, and the reason they do it is because they stay very, very cold. Because the shape of them allows, like, so what it's actually really interesting that they stay so cool that what they can do in the nighttime, it gets so cold, even in the desert, that traditionally people would lay water out on sheets, they freeze it at nighttime, and they break the sheets off, and they'd lay it in the base of the earth, in the bottom. And it stays cool enough there that you can keep the ice frozen and keep your meat like cool. It's really, really cool. So it's kind of like an ancient way of keeping your house cool when it's like 40 plus outside. So, I mean, they're much more clever than meets the eye.
So you can see there's a lot of those little things all over the place. And this is a modern photograph, of course. I mean, obviously you can't get a photograph like that in ancient times. But it gives us a little bit of an idea of what the area would have been like. It was about 39 kilometers southeast of another city here that means nothing to us on our map. But I just thought it would be good for us to be able to see that and get a picture of that. Now, as we look at Haran, and again, a blow up of the map here, the Euphrates coming along here, and they've gone up to Haran, about that 100 kilometers up there to Haran. And Haran was a city on the north end of the Euphrates River in the regions of Paden Aram, not just Paden. All right, now when you look in the scriptures, different times there will be reference to Padan Aram or Padan or Haran, all the same area. Haran was the city. The area around it apparently was Padan Aram. And so when Jacob went to Padan Aram to get a wife, that's where he went. All right? So it was that region. And then it was on the west side of the Balak River. It was approximately 1,050 kilometers northwest of Ur. And that other guy said it was 1,600 kilometers. I'm not sure how he got such a big number, because that's not what other things have said. But nonetheless,
miles probably had 1 kilometer.
Well, no, the other one, he actually had miles and kilometers. So
that's what I was saying. This is one of us bringing up, is oftentimes this happens when people are doing distances, because they might both be true. It depends on how they're working out. But some maps will tell you just a distance based on the birds. So I think some will actually take the topography into account, so like the ups and downs. If you take that into account, the distances can vary quite a bit.
Yeah, well, the way I tested it, it followed the river. But you even look at that, I mean, we look at it from this perspective. I mean, if you got a literal view of it, if they were actually going right along the edge of the river, you'd have a lot more,
exactly.
Distance.
Those wriggles on the blue line, each one of those wriggles might be 10 kilometers one way.
Yeah, I know. So you're looking at a lot of area there that, I mean, when you think of this being 100 kilometers, you can tell that these little ripples here are pretty good sized ripples, yes.
It's just a good example of that. A lot of people don't know. If you look at Japan next to Australia, Japan is like 5 times smaller than Australia, but yet it has like a much bigger coastline than Australia. You can actually look it up. It's true, just because of all of the little islands and nooks around the coastline. Yeah. So you can't always look at something and think the coastline is this big or the distance
is this big. All right, it was on the caravan route between the east and west. All right, so a caravan route that came across here. Haran was on that route, and so it became a popular city for that reason. And it was afterwards mentioned among the towns taken by the kings of Assyria. All right, so it's in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 12. 2 Kings 19, verse 12. Okay, look at that. Second Kings 19 and verse number 12. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were at Telezer? All right, so this was the guys that were bragging to Hezekiah that they were, you know, they had conquered all these lands. So when the Assyrians had done all that bragging, they said that we've already conquered all the cities. So it's mentioned here. It's also mentioned over in Isaiah 37, verse 12. Isaiah 37, 12. So the reason I want you to be familiar with these things is so when you read the scriptures, you'll be able to picture it in your mind where they're at. 37, 12. Have the gods of the nations... Oh, okay, it's the same quotation here. All right, so I won't read it again. It was almost word for word. When... Hezekiah was being threatened by Ramshek and Sennacherib, and so they were attacking them. Okay, so there's a couple of mentions of it there.
Where is that? What? Telassar.
What's that?
Where in Telassar? That's what. That's one of the other.
Now you're asking me hard questions that I can't answer. I don't know
where.
No, well, it'd be in the regions up there somewhere, but I don't know exactly where that would be. Maybe when we get on our next map, I'll take a look at it and see if we got the details. See, when I created these maps, I didn't put all the towns on because it just gets so cluttered and then you can't keep track of where you're at. I've got a map program that develops these programs, and it's pretty cool. But I could put all the towns on that they have in the map program, but then it gets you get overwhelmed by all the places. Yeah.
I'm also assuming that some of these places today might not bear those names anymore.
Yeah.
This is taking into account the ancient them.
That's right.
I was just saying that seems to be a modern day Turkey.
So there's a lot of things like that you just don't know. And then some references here to Haran, We've already made some notations of that. In Acts 7, it's mentioned when Stephen was preaching, he mentions that. And then also Padan Aram is mentioned several times. Genesis 25 was when Jacob was going up, I believe it was. Let me just see here. Genesis 25 in verse number 20. Verse 19 says, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. All right, so Padan Aram is mentioned there, and then all these other times in there, we won't take the time to look at each one of them. But Padan Aram, so keep that in mind, that Padan Aram, Padan, and Haran were all the place where Abraham's family had settled. And they were up there for quite a while. They were there until the father, Haran, died. Right? And that makes me wonder, too, you know, why is what, just coincidence? Or what? Why is the Abraham's father, was it his father? No, his brother. Okay, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 26, and Terah lived 75 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So is there a significance between the fact that this place up here is called Haran and this guy's name is Haran? I don't know. A lot of times they would name them after their place. Did they go up to that place and find a nice camp spot and that guy died there and they named it after him? I don't know. Haran died before his father and Terah. So, okay, maybe they named it in honor of him. So he died in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham, verse 29, and Abraham and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and so on there. And then, yeah, so Haran was one of the family members of Abraham. So perhaps that's where some of these connections come in. All right, now, what I'm going to do tonight, I want us to be able to just take our time, and I want us to be able to gain from this. And we'll stop here and pick up here next time with Abraham's second trip. And then we're going to be starting at Haran and moving down towards Shechem over in the east. But right now I want us to really cement in on this and think about these places. And remember, Babylon here, of course, was where the people went captive during the Babylonian captivity. And so you can see by looking, well, I mean, it's a couple hundred kilometers more to Ur from there. So if you added, took 200 kilometers off of that, so you're talking at least 800 kilometers to Babylon from Haran. And they wouldn't have had to go all the way up to Haran, so you can take another 100 kilometers off of there. So it's still 700 kilometers from here, and then all the way down there, it's another 700 kilometers. So the children of Israel, when they went into captivity, there would have been a 1,400 or 1,500 kilometers of travel, long way, especially when you're going barefoot carrying all the cargo that they stole from Israel. It would have been a rough, rough, difficult trail to follow, those 1,500 kilometers. But again, all the way over to Babylon. Difficult times. Okay. Any thoughts, comments, questions?
Before it's worth, I was reading an article from David Porson, you may be aware of the name, English pastor, preacher, way back. And he made a comment that when Nehemiah left with the Jews from Babylon back to Jerusalem, it was about 4 months, was a comment he made. So right or wrong, just giving some information as to what's in his mind.
Yes, I think the scriptures actually say that. Yeah, that's a long, it took a long time. Dangerous trip too, just as Jean-Marie was saying. Bandits and all kinds of troubles. And that's why when Ezra, which one was it? Ezra and Nehemiah both went back. And I think it was Ezra said he was ashamed to ask the king for an escort because they just said, we're going to trust God. And God protected him. Jean-Marie?
Yeah, because even the story of Good Samaritan, why was the man laying there injured without, with no possessions on him? Nothing to, you know, he was beaten half to death and left for dead. Because it was, the people could relate to that story Jesus told, because it was a common problem of the day.
Yeah.
People would get
that was just in the hills of Israel. Yeah. So this was a long, long, long journey that was much worse. Okay? So, take a good long look at it, because I want you to be able to digest that and let it soak in, because it's important for us to be able to picture. We've got Nineveh up here, where Jonah was. This was Assyria up in this area. The people went into captivity. The Assyrians came over and fought with them. So there's all these kind of things that took place from this area over to there. And, of course, you know, a lot of the missiles that are attacking Israel right now are coming from over this way as well. So,
I was going to say, just, I know it's in a different context of what we're looking at Abraham here, but when you see Nineveh tucked up all the way up there, like past all of that, like rugged terrain and hills and valleys and rivers, it just kind of makes you, the story of Jonah was that much more interesting, because it makes you see why he left before the sea, because you couldn't get more further away from Nineveh than going that way.
Yeah, I mean, he went the opposite way.
Yeah.
It's a totally different story, but you're right.
Yeah.
Sorry. Touch the keyboard and everything goes crazy.
It must have taken him months to get there anyway.
Once you got there. Anyway, yes, Lapis. You had a question?
I think, but that time, when he was moving up, Abraham was moving up that time, he did not have so many slaves and people with him.
Not as many.
Like later in his life, you know.
Right.
Later in his life, it was probably safer to travel with all the slaves and people working for him.
Yeah, you're right. He would have gained more people property as he went. Okay, very good.